Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Go. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:04 on your Wednesday. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning in to the show this afternoon. Big one lined up. Lot to get to. We have much to discuss. Bear, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Russell.
It's good. They got you all pumped up full of pre-chemo cocktail,
steroid,
or whatever you're taking.
Yeah, okay. I'm all jacked up, a little jittery. My hands are shaking. It makes you feel like $1 million. And it makes you eat like you've smoked 5 joints.
I don't know what that's like. Maybe once in college. Circa 1998.
Like my lunch 99. What I ate for lunch would astound you guys, even for me.
Well, I think I don't know about you, new Trey, but I kind of want to hear this. You want to hear what Bear had for lunch?
Let's go for it. Oh, sorry. Need to make sure that fourth one's turned off. I ate two gigantic hot baked Italian sub sandwiches.
Two baked from where?
From my kitchen.
You baked your own sub sandwiches?
Oh, yeah.
Italian? Okay.
I can make better than anything you can buy at a restaurant.
Two Italian sub sandwiches.
Yeah, they're approximately a good 16 inches worth of sandwich.
This is on the heels of your Sonic adventure yesterday.
Yeah.
So
it started yesterday was when I took the first dose of it. A half a bag of not the big family bag, but a half of a large bag of Ruffles potato chips.
Okay.
With dip. Little French onion, hell of a good dip, whatever that stuff is, or French onion dip. Two navel oranges, a half a box of Nilla wafers.
Nilla wafers.
Oh.
That is such a Bear thing to eat. Vanilla wafers? I haven't had those. I didn't even know they still made those.
Yeah, because what you do is I also ate a couple of bananas to get my potassium up. And if you eat the banana while you're eating the Nilla wafers, you know, I am watching my girlish figure right now. It's kind of like. Sort of like it kind of a little bit will hit that banana pudding Jones that I get from time to time.
Wait. So you've loaded yourself up with two full sandwiches, a bag of chips, half a box of vanilla wafers.
Two bananas.
And two
navel oranges.
Like just
the big ones. And then a container of blueberry yogurt for dessert.
Well, because after all, we have to have dessert with every meal.
Yeah. Fruit on the bottom.
How are you still conscious after a meal like that?
Because, like I said, I'm on this...
You're not 24 years old like new Trey over here.
No, but I'm on... it's called... what's it called? One of them's called dexamethasone. And it, makes you jittery.
Mm.
So I have to counteract it with, enough food to take down an elephant.
I mean, no doctor, but could it be... all the food that you've eaten. I know if I ate that much, I would either be A, asleep, or B, probably pretty jittery.
No, because I was a lot more jittery before I ate lunch. I wasn't planning on eating lunch, and because I really didn't feel that hungry. But then once I started, I couldn't stop myself.
Once you pop, can't stop.
I'm telling you, last week I went to like, got two, what are they called? Grand Slam burrito dinners from a local Mexican eatery. Destroyed it.
Well, speaking of destroyed, we have a lot to get to here this afternoon. Who's up first coming up here? I'm blank. Josh Pate, friend of the show, Josh Pate, 247sports.com, is going to join in the festivities coming up here in just a few moments. We have a big show lined up this afternoon. Let's start with the big news of the day. No big surprise here. Keon Johnson making it official. He is off to the greener pastures of the National Basketball Association. I didn't even read the graphic or so. I saw it, and it was – here's how not surprising. I didn't have to read it. You know exactly what it says. Thank you, UT. Thank you, fans. Thank you, Coach Barnes. I'm out. That the gist of it? I'm sure you read it, New Trey.
I didn't read it.
We're just assuming that's what it said. I will assume that until somebody tells me differently. Maybe he's staying. I don't know. One of us probably actually read that. I just assumed that he was out. Tennessee gets a commitment. Quentin Dibunje, the French pipeline remains. Yves Pons may be gone. The French pipeline marches on for Rick Barnes. Quentin Dibunje from Montverde Academy down there, a athletic 6'6" wing. I said last week, I watched the film on this guy. I'm pretty impressed. Not a super highly touted prospect. Doesn't have an offer list that blows you away.
Okay.
But I remember watching Pons' film back in the day, and we were all blown away by the dunking and how high he could jump. But we also said it doesn't look very natural dribbling the ball in the open court. Looks like a bit of a project. And he was.
Yeah. Chance called that one.
With Dibunje, I see a guy who's pretty polished. Like he looks smooth with the ball in his hands, has a nice-looking shot.
Okay, where's he been, though?
I see some potential to work with there. I don't know where he's been. He's been at Montverde this past year.
He also played in France.
Okay, so that was the deal. That's why me and you were gaga over Pons. And then, as I remember, Chance told us to pump the brakes because he'd been playing in France. Not France, Trey. And that it was going to be an adjustment period going from the Euro style of basketball to – just pounding it every night in the SEC.
It was, but I like this pickup. I don't think that we're penciling him into the starting lineup. I don't know what the expectations are next year, but if this is a guy you stick on your roster and, you know, I'm not going to call him a project, but maybe a developmental piece. It's like a step below a project. A project is a guy you don't expect anything from that first year. And the contributions the second year are going to be minimal, but you're hoping that by year three, year four, he's turned into a nice player and somebody that you can count on. To me, that's
Who are some of our better projects over the years? Throw me some names. We had a whole lot of success with our projects.
I'm thinking, well,
was Grant a project?
No, I think you might have thought he was a project, but he was good almost immediately.
Admiral probably fits in better.
Yeah,
as
maybe.
Yeah, but see, Admiral was a project because of he showed up a little bit out of shape, and then remember, Admiral kind of got in Barnes' doghouse there for a minute. It was either his freshman year or sophomore year. You remember that?
Yeah, I would consider Kyle Alexander a project who
we had to play his first
year. Yeah, we forced him into it. He was not very effective as a freshman, and I wish he could have kept him for some more seasons.
Tomba's a project.
Tomba is definitely a project.
Well, I mean,
Uroshi is a project. he was a starting center in the NCAA tournament this year.
I don't think we expected whatever. Him to be a project.
I think Tomba's more of a project simply because of the reclassification, not playing a senior year in high school.
That he's pretty raw.
Yeah. I mean, he's only been playing organized basketball for, he's a lot, who he's incredibly similar to is Kyle Alexander.
By the way, I have a full Catholic football coaching search update for you. I found the hot board. Yeah.
I mean, have you spoken with the Pope?
No, but it was in the New Sentinel, so I figure it's good enough, you know?
Oh.
All right, Bear, you asked for this yesterday. We never really got to it. You wanted the roster breakdown, how this shakes out. How many more spots do we have? By my count, we've got 4 spots to play with.
Okay, but I get confused. Who are you not counting in these 4 spots?
Okay, here's how it breaks down. Usually you have 13 scholarships in basketball. Because of the fact that the seniors can come back for basically a free year, Fulke and Anisicki, assuming Pons is gone, which I haven't heard anything otherwise.
Yeah.
Fulke and Anisicki are...
But they don't count.
Anisicki's already basically said he's coming back. Fulke,
I've heard he's 50-50.
I'm penciling him in, okay? If Fulke and Anisicki come back, we have 15 scholarships to work with next year. So 13 plus those two. If Anisicki comes back, we've got 14. If neither of them come back, we've got the regular 13, okay?
Okay.
So assuming that Fulke and Anisicki are back, that means we've got 15 scholarships. Here's how it breaks down so far. You'll have 4 juniors, Triple J, Kamwa, Vescovi, and Urosh.
I thought I would not be surprised if 2 of those aren't here next year.
I'm thinking they're going to be. I've heard different things. I've heard Kamwa maybe. I haven't heard anything to lead me that Urosh is leaving, and I've heard nothing to lead me believe that that Triple J or Vescovi would
go. I'm talking about Kamwa and Plasevich.
Yeah. I kind of think they're going to be here right now.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, you need post players, and you got to find a good replacement for them before you show those guys the door. I know they're not impact players or anything.
I mean, maybe if they can teach Plasevich how to turn around and shoot, you know, from 3 feet, I'll feel a little bit better about him.
We just had the project conversation, and we said that.
Dude, there's one that being a project's one thing. Not being able to play offensively is a whole nother deal.
Well, but they're going into year 3. And if you're going by my project formulas, no expectations year 1. Year 2, expectations are minimal. Year 3, year 4, well, they're going into year 3.
Okay.
So I'm with you. I'm very skeptical.
I like the kid, but I'm like, yeah, it's a perfect word for it. I'm highly skeptical. Go ahead.
By my count, we will only have 1 sophomore, and that's Justin Powell, and he might still be a freshman if the
– Who the hell is Justin Powell? When did we pay? Where did he come from?
You were here Monday when we talked at Lake.
Oh, the kid from Auburn.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yeah. The kid from Auburn.
For some reason, I want to call him Jordan Powell. Okay. So the Powell kid from
Auburn.
You
do that if it helps you remember.
Okay.
He might be a freshman, too. He's a sophomore or a freshman. And then the freshman class, you've got Chandler, Meshack, and Dabunje.
Okay.
You've got Corey Walker, who
hit the portal.
Not officially yet.
Oh. I thought that was.
I've not seen that.
Yeah, it was rumored, but it's
I've heard he's in the portal.
It's
from somebody I trust.
He's not in the portal, but he
ain't coming back. Is what I heard.
Well, I mean,
I've got very few sources, but okay. I do have one, and he's pretty accurate usually.
Bear with hashtag breaking news on the drive. So you've got Chandler, Meshack, Dabunje, Corey Walker, maybe 1 foot out the door there, and then so that would be. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 out of 15.
So we still got 4.
And that's with Walker. So if you take Walker out, then that's 5.
Okay, we're fairly certain. It looks like Huntley Hatfield and Hanji Tamba.
I don't know.
May reclassify and be freshmen. That'd take 2 of them.
That would. And then you've got
Walker Kessler still.
Yeah, you've got
somewhere
spots for 2 or 3 transfers.
Has Timmy said anything from Gonzaga since Monday? Has he made any kind of announcements?
Oh, about like
leaving or staying?
I thought you were talking about like him coming here. I was like, what?
No. Because the deal was if Timmy stays at Gonzaga, our chances of getting Kessler.
Well, they're also in
go
on
way up.
They're in on another 7-footer, 5-star too. That could
the number one player.
that could end up there.
Yeah.
So right now we've got 11 guys. Right now we've got 11 guys out of 15 scholarships.
Okay.
If we're assuming Fulke and Anisicki are back. So that means you have four spots to play with, and you could have another guy or two enter the portal as well. So that's where we stand. That's where we stand. We will revisit that and talk about what Tennessee should be prioritizing at this point as far as big men, point guards, wing guys, whatever, coming up here a little bit later on in the show. Josh Pate, 247sports.com, joins the festivities to talk college football when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in East Tennessee. Another warm spring day. Football weather. We can talk a little spring football weather anyway.
Absolutely.
Let's bring in Josh Pate from 247 Sports to talk more about that. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
So this is football weather to you because I got a cousin who lives in Wisconsin.
You know, yeah.
If the mercury is above freezing, then we've basically gone soft if we find ourselves on the gridiron.
It's one of those statements. When you got 3 hours to fill, Josh, and you, like every now and then, it's as the words are coming out of your mouth, you're thinking to yourself, well, this is a stupid thing I'm saying. No, it's not football weather. Football weather is the snow and the fall and all that stuff, right? I don't know. It's spring football. Josh, we're so myopic about Tennessee here in these parts. It's all we follow. I know you follow the sport on a much larger basis from your perch with 247. What is the big storyline in spring football across the college landscape right now?
I think the ultra big storyline that I don't necessarily know has taken root nationally yet, but then again, you know, I don't know. It doesn't really concern me what anyone else is talking about. What I think is the 2021 season as a whole is setting up in a way that if you've been screaming for more parity in the sport, which is a new buzzword of the moment, and if you've been screaming for other faces to be present at the table, I think 2021 may be at least opportunistic, if not outright kind, because of how many major programs are breaking in new quarterbacks. The big three, all of them are. Clemson is, Bama is, Ohio State is, but also I think that there is going to be a realization, finally, when we're able to get crowds back in stadiums. In other words, when you get something back on your plate that got taken from you, it is going to be, I think, in a lot of ways, a renaissance year for the sport. Now, it may help it, obviously, if there is a lot more unpredictability on the field on Saturdays. But, I mean, I was at Easter Sunday lunch with my family over the past weekend. And my little nephew, who's, bless his heart, he's like 3 years old, he didn't want his dinner. Well, then my sister pulled it away from him for about 3 minutes. Well, then he was crying, and he wanted his dinner again. And so I think it's a microcosm in a lot of ways. My 3-year-old nephew tells me everything I need to know about what maybe our fall will look like if hopefully the other roadblocks that we don't control are out of the way.
Mm. You kind of saw it with basketball this past with the tournament and everything after not having it last year. And everybody said, oh, it's the greatest tournament. It was so much fun. And it was. I don't know if it was the greatest tournament. The Gonzaga-UCLA game was great. But I feel like a lot of that, Josh, was we missed the tournament last year. And this past regular season, it just felt different without the fans and everything. To have March Madness back, it felt good. It felt like old times. Even though there weren't all the fans there, it felt like very much a key part of, quote-unquote, getting back to normal.
I think in a lot of ways that's true. I think there's that element of you don't know what you got until it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm kind of observing from afar the pro wrestling industry, just the entertainment industry in general, but pro wrestling is going to be a good sounding board for this because they've got their WrestleMania event this weekend. And while I probably won't be watching, I'll be observing for the reason that they, I think, were hamstrung more than any other entertainment-based entity out there in not being able to have a live crowd, because that's performance art, and that's not just raw competition. And when you don't get the feedback from an audience in that field, you are dead on the vine. And so I'll be very interested, because that product had not been the greatest. And maybe the in-ring product is still not the greatest, but I'll be very interested to see when they hold that event this weekend, and it's on Peacock, I think, which is free to 25 million homes. I'll be very interested to see how that is received relative to how, you know, an event prior to COVID would have been received. And I'll then look forward to some spring games around the country. It's going to differ case to case as to how many people can get in. But I just think there'll be a lot of sounding boards that we can use before we get to, you know, week one in the fall that sort of give you guidance on what to expect this year.
Josh Pate, 24/7 Sports, with us this afternoon on the G3 Help Me Hotline. And Josh, I saw where you had an interesting topic on your show, the Late Kick, this week. The second best coach in college football, I think maybe 2 years ago, that clearly would have been Dabo Swinney. But after the past two seasons, it seems like there's more room for debate there. What conclusions, if any, did you guys arrive at?
To be honest, I didn't ask the rest of these folks before I did it because I thought they'd disagree with me. So I just went out all on my own, and I said Ryan Day. I said it pretty quick. And then you got to do the preface, obviously. You got to put the caveat at the bottom. I'm not talking about career achievement so far, because Dabo's trophy case looks a lot more impressive than Ryan Day's. It's 2-0. And so I'm not talking about that. But if I were to ask you guys, or I ask myself, I've got Pate State University. I got to fill that head coaching role for the next decade. Not the previous, the next decade. Who do I want? And I don't see anyone out there that exhibits more of the characteristics I would want in my head coach than Ryan Day. He is a phenomenal recruiter. He's a phenomenal tactician as a coach, knows the quarterback position, knows how to teach the quarterback position, and not just a recruiter in and of himself. His organization is a recruiting machine now, and I want you to just let's say out loud what the reality there is. In a lot of ways, they took a guy who had never been a head coach before to replace Urban Meyer, a legend in the sport, and in many areas that program has upgraded. How many other folks on this planet could have pulled that off?
Yeah, and you know what the critics will say to that is, that he hasn't built anything. He was handed the keys to a Ferrari. He's more or less kept it between the ditches. Very Lincoln Riley-esque.
Yeah. That's fine, but you know, they said that about Larry Coker, and then they were right, by the way, and it started to come off the tracks. I don't see anything but the speeding up of Ohio State football right now. So, again, that's a fair criticism because he's still very early in his tenure. I have all the confidence in the world that 5 years from now we'll be looking at Ryan Day, at least I will, and I will be seeing validation of my feeling about him right now. Because here's the other thing about Ryan Day. There was no hesitation on Ohio State's part. They had their choice of probably 95% of candidates in America if they wanted them. That's a desirable job. There was no cloud of NCAA whatever hanging over the program. It was an unusual set of circumstances. They could have gotten almost anybody, and they didn't even leave Columbus, Ohio, and they were definitive in the snap of a finger. They said, no, we got the guy to lead Ohio State football right in the building, and who cares if he's never been a head coach? We're that committed, and we're that clear that he's the guy. That spoke to me when they made that decision, even if I didn't know a lot about Ryan Day. And the second part to that is, look how seamlessly he's able to get buy-in. Top to bottom, man. He's like a military general up there. He's like an assassin in a lot of ways. No one questions him. Everyone gets in line. He's got guys who have been coaching this game since he's been in diapers who are very quick to follow orders and not question it. And it's just, I don't know how many people understand how rare it is at that level to be that young in the profession and command that kind of respect.
Yeah, I'm thinking here of a parallel between a situation we saw a long time ago here in Knoxville because correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Day, he had a little bit of a trial run there, right? Meyer was having a health issue, or was he suspended or something? And Ryan Day was the coach for two or three games. It was kind of similar to what happened with Philip Fulmer in 1992, where he, you know, Majors had a heart issue, and Fulmer coached a couple of games, did really well, and Majors wasn't doing bad. He had won SEC titles in 89 and 90, but in 1992, fans got a little dose of what Philip Fulmer had to offer, and it was time to make a change, and you passed it off, and like you're saying, not only did he keep it going, but he put the pedal to the metal and took it to another level. I mean, I think that's very similar to what we're seeing with Ryan Day right now.
Yeah, I think one of the differences, you know, if you were to get Johnny Majors off in a corner and get some truth to him, I don't know at that time if he would have spoke very glowingly of the situation there. Whereas Urban Meyer, I had him. I got about 30 minutes with him this last spring, and I asked him about Ryan Day for about 10 minutes, and he sounded like a proud father. He was so effusive in the praise. So, yeah, it's interesting because, see, Luke Fickell got a chance to step in and do that interim thing there, and they didn't go with Fickell. They went with Ryan Day. I just that was a big – I don't know what the opposite of a red flag is. Maybe it was a green flag, but that always stood out to me because very rarely do high-level folks have so many options and make that quick a decision on a guy that others would consider an outlier at best and not know what they're talking about.
I think we'll – look at this era, the past 20 years or so. Obviously, it's dominated by Saban and Urban Meyer. And that's very interesting, Josh, that Urban Meyer had his handpicked successor. He handed it off. They kept right on going. That didn't happen at Florida, of course. And I can't help but wonder, Nick Saban, he cast such a large shadow over his entire sport. But, I mean, there's just not much of a clear-cut successor there. That he's going to hand it off to. I mean, you know good and well, all hell is going to break loose, people trying to get that Alabama job whenever Saban decides to hang it up.
Well, that's your parity. Your parity enters the sport the day he hangs it up. There's your parity. You don't have to change the playoff or anything else. Just a lot of what people are fed up with right now is just how good Nick Saban is. So that you kind of got to swallow as a bitter pill in the short term. But, you know, you're right about that. And I know a fair amount of people in that program talk to Nick Saban fairly regularly. Not that I would ask him this question, but I don't know who in the world. If you ask 10 people around Alabama, who's the successor here? You'd get like 8 to 10 different answers. For a while, some misguided people thought it was Kiffin. And then maybe some people who were a little bit more on the money thought Kirby Smart or maybe recently Steve Sarkisian. I don't know who it would be to this day, this very moment. I don't know who my answer right there would be. And for that matter, if Saban was able to handpick his successor, I don't know who that would be either.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see. Josh, a couple of more things. We'll let you run here. One coach that a year ago we were sitting here saying, well, we may have misjudged this guy, Ed Orgeron down at LSU. And one storyline I find interesting this spring, Josh, is that, you know, for all the off-the-field scandal and turmoil going on down there, LSU, another really ugly story coming to light yesterday. It does not seem to be impacting Coach O's recruiting in any sort of negative way.
No, nothing in that apparatus has been affected. That could be a blessing or it could be a curse. Because what's going to happen is eventually they're going to tee it up this fall. And while you think that's a good thing when everyone's record is pristine, you start losing some games again this year, and your quarterback's healthy. Oh, by the way, you had a nice, healthy quarterback battle, by the way. And so you don't have COVID as an excuse. You don't have complacency off a title win as an excuse. And by the way, you've got all these good recruiting classes stacked on top of each other, which theoretically means you got a competitive to elite roster right there at your fingertips. And you're telling me we're still pacing to lose 5 games? Four or five games this year, all of a sudden, there is no excuse. You don't sit there and look at the administration and say, well, once I get these recruiting classes in the future in here, blah, blah, blah. They're there now. So, yeah, it's great. You know, as long as you're winning, that's what you win with. But if you lose, in spite of having all that winnable talent, there is no more excuse left in the room.
No doubt about it. Josh, get your thoughts on what's going on here at Tennessee, if you have any. They've had some trouble getting traction with the Josh Heupel era. Again, some rather negative off-the-field stories. I don't know much how much you can put that at the feet of the new head coach here. But your thoughts on the Tennessee situation through a couple of practices. Sounds like they might try and do an open practice or something like that Saturday at Neyland Stadium. What can Josh Heupel do to get a little pop for his program, or is that something that he should even be worried about at this point?
Yeah, he should. Now, the old school football mentality is, oh, forget about all that stuff. Well, there are a lot of things that you could take for granted back in the day that I don't think you can afford to take for granted anymore. And one is, in your business, we would call them the P1 listener. In football, you're P1 fan. I just think what we used to say about L.A. sports fans is true with everybody in the American sporting culture now, and that is They got so many more options because of the technology at their disposal. There are so many more options afforded to you if you live in Johnson City, Tennessee today than there were in 1984, that yes, you do have to, as a head coach, take it upon yourself to market your program. I've said before, even with you guys, and I'll say it one more time, if they want a model to follow in Knoxville, they need to look no further than about 2 hours, 2.5 hours south, and look at what Jeff Collins so far has been successfully able to pull off. The dude's won 3 games each of his first 2 years, and they've still got tons of positive energy around Georgia Tech football because he knew two things. Number one, he inherited a mess, so we got to rebuild behind the curtain. But what we put out in front of the curtain on stage needs to keep people invigorated. And that's when you got to get creative. You got to have really good vision. This is the most important part. You have to be one. You have to be interwoven with the culture of your fan base. And so that's what is on him to figure out immediately. Because, listen, no one cares right now if you're not good enough at right guard. No one cares if the next best hope for you on the interior of the defensive line are juniors in high school. They want to at least feel something right now. And so in a lot of ways, you got to become a promoter. Now, I know that's not what you were raised to learn in the film room, but you're paid more and more these days as a head coach because there's more and more on your plate these days as a head coach, and sometimes that's what it entails.
Josh Pate, 247sports.com. Always appreciate our visits with you, Josh. What do you have going on over with the late kick this week?
Well, we have completely and totally demonized the word off season. We call it the X season right now. We just don't even believe in it. So we've been, I think we've had some of our best shows lately. So if anyone wants to catch them, they're on the 247 Sports YouTube channel. You can also follow me, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, at Late Kick Josh.
Very good. Josh Pate, 247 Sports at Late Kick Josh. Thanks so much, man. Have a great week.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Josh Pate making his presence felt on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If your loved one is injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III, 865-558-8030, online at g3helpme.com. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. Again, that's g3helpme.com. Already seeing some tweets. I hear what Josh was saying about the Georgia Tech model. I know none of us are going to be satisfied if Josh Heupel wins 3 games the next 2 years. He's gone, right? They'll fire him. You can't go 3-9 twice here at Tennessee.
It will be a positively brutal.
But that wasn't his point, though. I connect with your fan base and find a way. You know it's going to be hard, is basically what he was saying. You know it's going to be hard. Do whatever you have to do to get your fans to buy in with you through the hard times.
Take a little bit of patience, as Axel used to sing.
Well, and, you know, Pruitt 3 years ago, well, I don't need any of that hot sauce. We're just going to go and, okay, practice football. And that got boring quickly, especially when you fall on your face out of the gates in your opening game the first 2 years. So Heupel is going to have to do something to connect. The open practice thing that John Bryce was talking about, have they announced that yet? That's not official.
No, I don't know.
They need to do something Saturday morning
after everything that's gone on between finding out that was it Brandon Davis didn't shoot himself, that was actually a teammate, and then the
and I think they are
the cat incident.
Has Heupel and the marketing machine over there made any missteps so far?
No.
I mean, there's nothing you can do about those bad stories.
No,
they just sort of happen.
No, he wasn't aware that, you know, Beasley had done that to that cat.
The YouTube series is a nice touch. An open practice would be a nice touch.
Yeah.
The way they're making these coaches available for long media visits has
been
a nice
they're
touch.
Playing things right, because they can't come in here and act like we've been a 9-10-11 win team and go the Saban and everybody else at successful route and, you know, have – limited availability of your coaches and act like you're the only game, you know, you're the only thing in town.
Stay with us. The drive continues. 865-546-8200 will open up the G3 hotline to you. 546-8200, your number to get on board. The drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Portions of our show today brought to you by FanDuel Masters. Getting set to start down there in Augusta tomorrow. One of the best things about golf is the old gimme. A sure thing. You want to start betting on golf? FanDuel Sportsbook has a gimme just for you. New users to FanDuel this week can get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth just to make the cut at the Masters. That's right. Take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. So, obviously, DJ is playing really well. Jordan Spieth just won last week. Rory McIlroy has a green jacket. These guys, they're good. This is a safe bet. Pick one of those guys just to make the cut. You're going to be doing pretty good. My money would be on DJ. That's just me. You can win $100 on just a $5 bet, 20-1 odds. Not much more of a gimme than that. When you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta tomorrow, and there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account using our promo code DRIVE1 to get 20-1 odds. That's promo code DRIVE1 only on FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
You know one of those guys is not going to make the cut.
Yeah, I think that too. Probably.
I would say McIlroy.
Spieth. I'm going Spieth.
Spieth has kind of been on fire lately.
I know.
I think they all make the cut. I don't see any
of them. That's probably the safest bet. But
I mean, it's not really going out there or anything. But it's most likely.
Well, that's why it's a gimme.
But it's the Masters. Somebody's going to go out and have a terrible – one of those three I'd be willing to bet has a terrible first round.
Probably DeChambeau, but he's not one of those.
You think it's going to be Rory? You want to put some money on it? Just you and me? Rory doesn't make the cut?
Lunch?
How about you want to put just one of those three will not make the cut? Lunch bet? One of those three won't make the cut?
You think all three are going to make
the
cut?
You've seen the way he's been eating lately. Are you sure?
that's a good idea, new Trey. Might have to pump the brakes on that one. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is with us. Hello, TJ.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing well. Thanks, man.
Hey, man, you know what? After three kids, I'm living my best life right now, getting the wife to wait on me hand and foot because I had the old surgery. So I'm living my best life, laying on the couch.
Oh, you timed it out for the – did you time out the old snip-snip for the Masters?
Oh, man, you got to believe I did. Are you kidding?
All right. Well done, TJ. TJ, the Kentucky fan, took the bullets out of the gun. Won't be no more Kentucky fans in that particular gene pool.
That's right, man. Hey, look, let's talk about something real quick. I know that Atlanta Braves finally just won. Jesus Christ, finally. You know, can we get a commissioner in baseball to make baseball great again? Like back in the day when Nolan Ryan and Pete Rose were like running over people and punching people. Now we just got a bunch of prima donnas with, you know, Bryce Harper with the hair flips and, like, come on, give me some baseball.
I like the managers who won't let their starting pitchers throw more than 90 pitches in a game, so much so that in the World Series last year, was it Tampa, the guy, game six, the guy's just dealing on the mound. He gets to 100 pitches. They're like, no, we're taking this dude out, and then they end up losing the game. And the series. That was really smart. That was something the old Tommy Lasorda, Sparky Anderson, Bobby Cox, they would have done the same thing. Those guys are so brilliant.
Man, it feels like everybody's made out of glass now in the baseball. One more question for you. With every returning starter coming back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are they going to win it all again?
Every starter coming back for Tampa, they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to be hard to beat, man. I mean, you got the winningest quarterback of all time, and weapons around there that theoretically are going to be better from playing together more. And I think if barring any sort of key injury, yeah, I mean, they'd have to be my favorite in the NFC for sure.
Well, y'all almost made it, guys. Tomorrow's Friday. Y'all have a good weekend.
No, tomorrow's Thursday. TJ, reeling from the effects of the surgery there. I mean,
I don't get you guys that unload your gun voluntarily.
I've not unloaded mine. Is that in the TMI category?
I don't know. I mean, we kind of put all our business out on Front Street usually.
I was about to do it after the second kid.
Maybe that's why I thought you did.
Nate scared me out of it.
Hodges?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he told me it hurt.
Nate unloaded his?
I guess I just put that out there, huh? Sorry, Nate. Know your business. He said, like, no, it hurts, and he says the doctor, you're not asleep for it, right?
No, Dragon. No way you're coming near me then.
He said the doctor said they're talking to you, like making stupid sack jokes and stuff while you're sitting there getting, yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't work for me, buddy.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So I
canceled the appointment, huh?
Pulled out, so to speak.
Yeah, good for you.
Eight six five 546-8200. Oh Lord, against my better judgment, I'm going to take Willie's call. Hello, Willie. You're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
What's happening, guys?
What's up?
Hey, can y'all tell me anything about this guy from France that we signed today? In other words, how tall is he? How much do he weigh? And what other schools might or might have not been after him?
Isn't that 6'8", 6'10", range, isn't he?
No. He's 6'6".
Yeah, he's 6'6".
Shooting guard.
6'6", 180, I believe, was the measurement.
Slender.
I think he can play, Willie. I saw some tape of him. He's got a nice-looking stroke. He looks fluid and natural with the ball in his hand in the open court. The offer list is not is nothing that blows you away. Or anything like that. Let me see. I'm trying to pull that. I don't even remember if that tells you anything.
I heard somebody else saying that the guy, even though he's like 19 years old, I guess you can still be growing at 19. I heard somebody else saying today the guy's still growing and he's really about 6'8 now. So is he a guard or a forward?
They're recruiting him as a wing, I believe.
No. I just hope he's not another Nakamwa if he is a forward.
I don't think that's the player comparison they're rolling with.
Because it looks like, I mean, as far as forwards go, forwards are a center, which I guess we've never really had one. You know, they got to come, like this Hatfield guy, they got to come ready-made because it doesn't seem like they're getting any coaching over there.
Well, I think they just need – my opinion is they just need better players, and that's why they're running a few guys off and hitting the transfer portal. And, I mean, you're going to see six or seven new faces on that squad. It's going to be about half new faces on that roster next year.
Any word on filling those two assistant spots?
They hired one.
Yeah, they already hired Rod Clark from
Austin Peay?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I thought you guys would get a kick out of this. I just got back from Subway. There was this old boy looked like he's about 25 years old. He came walking out, and he had this white T-shirt on. In big letters, it had the P word. And underneath it, it said the most expensive meal you'll ever eat.
You're right. I did regret that. Thank you, Willie. I hate to hit the flush button there, but I mean, it's... He had TJ, the Kentucky fan, dropping to JC, talking about his vasectomy on the air. We had Willie coming on. I don't even remember what happened there. At a certain point, I have to get control of the show again. I know.
Time, Captain, you need to crack the whip.
That wheel's slipping out of my hand. I can't get a hold of this thing. And we got 2 hours to go. I mean, we're barely through hour one of the show here. I can't just.
I do have to say some of our best shows ever when it goes off the rails in the first hour.
We have to instill some discipline.
Much needed discipline.
We have to instill some discipline.
Much needed.
Trey Wallace will join us next hour.
Oh, Trey.
How about that?
The Trey, not fake Trey.
Old Trey Wallace. Old Trey.
The Trey. King Trey.
Hey, this is a big show today for a new Trey. Are you ready for the top four?
I've done it once already, but yeah, I'm ready.
I've done it once.
I hope you are. We're not calling him new Trey. I've gone back and listened to the podcasts extensively since young Trey's been on the show.
Young Trey?
No, it's not young Trey.
I thought you didn't like the sound of your own voice, though. So
I don't, but I wanted to hear and make sure that your laugh reminded me of who I thought it did. From this day forward, you will be known as Pooh Bear. You sound like Pooh.
We're not calling him
Pooh Bear. We're calling him Pooh Bear.
We're not calling
him Pooh Bear. I'm calling him Pooh Bear.
Okay, you're calling him Pooh Bear. It's really weird. Why you make it weird?
Because his giggle sounds just like Pooh's.
Make it weird.
Bear and Pooh Bear.
And it's kind of weird.
You're the only bear in here.
Yeah. You
need to workshop that one.
Yeah, all right, fine. I don't like new Trey.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More fan run radio. You'll get new Trey and you'll like it.
He's got the top four. You're not the boss of me.
At four, coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.